here and ready to minister to the word of the Lord. Let's stand together as we invite Brother Mike Glover to come share the word of God with us tonight. Amen. And let the Lord minister in our hearts and lives. Praise God.
You may be seated. Wow, what a great group of people. You know, there's something about Brother Rodney Wicker that when he's around, I'm just like, it's going to work out. So it's going to work out tonight. Yeah. I want you to be engaged in what's going on tonight, like tonight is the only chance we've got. Because what I'm speaking tonight is the only chance that God's given this church to do what he wants to do. And so I ask you humbly to receive the office of the prophet tonight. And don't worry, I'm not going to prophesy. I'm speaking from the office of a prophet. It's a bit different. Ezekiel, guess what? Your wife's going to die. And you can't grieve. But when it's over, you tell Israel that my bride's dying. But that didn't happen. It was just a vision, right? No, it did happen. Prophets, I found out, they have to carry things. They live through things. It's not necessarily, oh, I prophesy to you right now that there's gonna you battle through things. And so it's a little bit of a different office. And it's heavy. I know what I'm speaking about. I got it the 30th of July. I didn't know when I would speak it or if I would speak it. And so I've been waiting. Greg started to get all sentimental, and I'm like, shut up, man, because I don't want to. I want to get rid of this. Don't switch the atmosphere to where we start doing something different. I've been nervous all day, actually, like going, God, please don't change it. Please don't change it. Because I refuse to say anything that I don't feel God's leading me to say. So since the 30th of July, I've been carrying this. It's not easy. You guys, Sunday school audience, you guys get to suffer through some of it. I've been having a hard time. A little bit of aggression comes out there, and you know, I might get a little confrontational. I don't know. But it's a little. That just made my day. But the best way for me to honor my parents tonight is just to do what God has asked me to do. The best way you can honor my parents tonight is to get engaged with me. And I know how I'm starting. I don't know how it's going to end. There's nothing better than that. It's pretty much how I roll. It's so awesome. It's like, I have no idea what's going to happen, but it's going to be great. In fact, I don't even know who's going to do it. I'm just kidding. But my parents, such special people. 30 years we've been in this place. And I want to quickly honor my wife, though. Since Pastor Glover brought it up, I don't often spend time doing any preliminaries. I'm not really polished, and I don't care to be. And so I don't often recognize my wife, but she's literally the only reason I'm able to grow in what I'm growing in or do what I'm doing is because of her strength. And she's such a treasure to me. I'm probably the only person in the world has ever had God tell you that you're going to marry Megan. I'd known her in Iraq. We'd been there 6 months, I guess. We were best friends, but that was all we were. Until we were at a gas station back in the United States, fixing to go out to eat, just as friends. And God gives me a word and says, I'm giving you Megan because you're going to need her strength in what I'm calling you to do. And it was like, swoosh. and I would just overcome, and I was googly-eyed in love with Megan, like that. to the point that we had a lady stop by as she was leaving the restaurant saying, I just want to say I've so enjoyed watching you guys talking to each other. You're so obviously in love, and it's just been such a pleasure to look at, because I was just like... So she's been a huge blessing to me at least half the time. Yeah. And so... I'm going to eventually be talking from 1 Samuel 25. Are you guys in a hurry? I'm trying to think what I should do here. Okay. I got what I'm going to speak listening to my twin brother speak about speaking in son. I really appreciate him doing that, so it saves me the effort of starting to explain that and just passing the mic off to him and saying, you do it. But speaking in son, so that means we've been baptized into Jesus Christ. We've received the Spirit of Jesus Christ, and he reveals himself. He wants to constantly reveal more and more of himself to us through the Spirit. And so speaking in son is speaking as, when I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking on the authority of Jesus Christ. That speaking in son is, there's no doubt in my mind that what I've received is going to happen, and I'm going to speak it, and I don't care if you believe it or not. That's speaking in son. And so what I want you guys to do is I want you guys to be prepared to speak in son tonight. And I most often speak in son, really, just by praying in the Holy Ghost. I grew up, Brother Rodney, with all these different ways to cast out demons and what to say, what not to say. Don't look at them in the eyes and, ooh, spooky. And the first person that I cast a demon out of through the power of God, I didn't say one word in English. In fact, I just looked at them. I grabbed their head. Oh, you aren't supposed to touch them. I grabbed their head, and I just started speaking in tongues. Right. And that demon was long gone. All right. Yeah. I don't think we realize the power of praying in the Holy Ghost. That's pretty much all we need, Zachary. Just believing that while I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, I'm speaking in son, and something's being done somewhere else. Hey, Zachary, I pray for you and Justine every morning, just so you know that. I love you guys. 1 Samuel 25. You know, we know the story of David. And so, we know now that we are in the new realm of the Spirit, and it's Jesus Christ. Right. I'm going to insist that you guys say Jesus Christ tonight. Don't make me prove it over and over again using this, okay? But Jesus died on the cross, okay? And his body... That body was the doorway from the Old Testament to the New Testament and into this new realm of the Spirit. It's Jesus Christ. So all of you have been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. So by all means, let's just say in the name of Jesus Christ and not use shorthand and say in the name of Jesus. Devils say Jesus. They can say that in Acts. Jesus, I know. But Jesus Christ, I'm not so sure they'd be brave enough to say that. So let's speak in Jesus Christ, like you are a part of Jesus Christ. And let's by all means not have that problem tonight, okay? If you don't understand what I'm talking about, just say in the name of Jesus Christ. Yep, that's right. If you've been baptized in the name of Jesus, you need to get rebaptized. You're going to hell. It's Jesus Christ. That's what the Bible says. All right. Well, David, he's on the run. And then... I have some scriptures printed out in New Living Translation because it's easier to read. But in 1 Samuel 22, 1 and 2, he has 400 men, roughly, that come to him while he's in a cave. They're men that are in trouble, they're in debt, and they're discontented, or they're bitter of soul. Those 400 men come to David, who's in a cave, on the run from Saul. The only thing that David has is an anointing of the Holy Ghost. Spirit of God rested upon him from that day forward, it says. So this man who is not yet king, been anointed king, gets these 400 men that become the mighty men. If they came and showed up and were mighty before that, it doesn't seem to say so. But when we're chronicling this in 2 Samuel 23, says, these are the names of David's mightiest warriors. The first was Jashobeam the Hachmonite, who was leader of the three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Anyone ever been in a fist fight with more than two? Not that easy to do. 800? Next in rank among the three was Eleazar of Dodai, a descendant of Ahoah. Once Eleazar and David, think about that. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines when the entire Israelite army fled. He killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift his sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army did not return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in rank was Shammah, son of Agi, from Harar. One time the Philistines gathered at Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field full of lentils. The army fled once again. But Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines. The Lord brought about a great victory. They get there, they break through, they get him water. And then it goes down to verse 18, Abishai, son of Zeruiah, the brother of Joab. When we read this, we need to realize that Joab is number one. He's not ranked number one here, but he is number one. Top dog, Joab. His armor bearer is one of David's mighty men. Think about that. Joab was a bad boy. He took out the general of Saul's army, no problem. Hey, Abner, come here, let's talk. Joab was a bad boy. His brother was Abishai, son of Zeruiah. The brother of Joab was the leader of the 30. He once used his spear to kill 300 enemy warriors in a single battle. Then you got Benaiah, who for whatever reason decided to chase a lion down in a pit on a snowy day and kill it. He fought an Egyptian that was 7.5 feet tall. His spear point was 9.5 pounds. And he ripped that out. Wait, no, that's the other story. He fought an Egyptian 7.5 feet tall. He took his spear from him and killed him with it. It was the size of a weaver's beam, however big that is. We have right here the most amazing transformation of men. And the only thing that they did right, according to the word, is they got in with David in a cave. And they did things like this that we can't even picture in our mind. I don't know how many people are here right now, but I know for a fact I couldn't kill all of you, even if I had a pistol. You know, 600, think about that. We have here the best picture of what each one of you could or will or do look like right now in the spirit. You realize that? I need to be looking at mighty men and women. I need to be looking at people that think that without me, it's not going to happen tonight. Can you get in that mindset, or is that too cocky for you? Can you get in the mindset that God has chosen me, and if I don't do what I'm supposed to do, God's will is not going to be accomplished tonight? Don't believe the lie that God's will is always accomplished, because it's not. Over and over again, he's disappointed by men and women of God because we don't step up and we don't do what we're supposed to do. And then we pass it on down the line and say, God's will is going to be accomplished no matter what I do. No matter how this service goes, God will. You don't need to be practiced up on playing the piano on the keyboard. You don't need to be prayed up. No matter what, God's will is going to be accomplished. That's not true. Don't believe that. And so if you don't do what you're supposed to do tonight, God's will very well could not be accomplished tonight. And I want that responsibility to rest on every single one of you. And I want you to say, I'm a mighty man or I'm a mighty woman of God. I wonder what we look like in the spirit world. I wonder how much terror. I wonder how much terror we cause to the demonic realm when we walk by. I wonder how many angels are coming around here right now. I wonder how many angels are ready to fight on behalf of what we're going to do tonight. Believe it or not, America's in trouble. Believe it or not, America is in bad trouble. I just wonder if one night in Sterling, things could turn around in America. Do you have enough? Do you have enough faith with God? Yeah. Enough power in the Holy Ghost? Or are you just from Sterling and Kenai and you're visiting from Florida and you're on vacation and you're just whatever? Come on, Zach. Do you really believe that tonight things could start to change in America because of what goes on here? One service. Can you believe that? Let's go ahead and just pray in the Holy Ghost a little bit here. Send your angels, Jesus Christ. Send your angels, Lord God Almighty. May be seated in the spirit. You know what embarrasses me? 2 Corinthians 3. Because Paul is breaking down about how Moses' face shone in something that was passing away. And then he says, how much more glorious is what we have in the spirit? When's the last time we saw glory? When's the last time we even experienced real glory? Moses' face shone. Paul goes, that's nothing. That's something to me. How low are we living on that spiritual level, really? How little are our expectations? How little are we even connected, really, with what God's wanting to do here? We're comfortable in Alaska, right? So it's not our problem. We got everything. It's going to work itself out. No, it's not. I'm telling you, no, it's not. You want to see what civil war looks like? Wait till after November. And you think people have been holding back? Conservative people have been holding back? The ammo is gone from sportsmen as soon as it gets in. And you don't think we're going to start pushing back? And you don't think there's forces that are trying to create a civil war right now? They're trying to create a race war that's not even there, but they're making it happen. And right now, what are we doing here? What's God's will for this? Is it just time to go? I wish it was, but unfortunately it's not. God's will is for us to continue America to have a few more years. But he needs his church to actually stand up and, like, okay, I'm awake. And I can do something about this. Just by myself, I could do something about this. Just by yourself, Rick, you can do something about this. In prayer, you can do something about it. Myers. Man, we have some powerful people in this church tonight. We pulled up, I saw Brother Myers getting out of his rig, and it's like, oh, yeah. We need to be connected. You can be seated. I'm not even getting. But how little have we experienced of what God has for us? Because we know it's not the entire, we have not received the entire Spirit of God. Right. It's this earnest, it's the down payment. Yeah. We have yet to really experience it, but it's enough to where we can't get to the end of it. But we're probably right there in the middle. What's it take for us to really get connected and really believe that if I pray in the Holy Ghost, I can wreak havoc on hell? We say hell, but demons. It's been a hard road, brother. Brother Rodney, been a hard road working out how this works and learning things the hard way, and it's rough. Most of the time, I'm just a saint. Yeah. Very thankful for our pastor. I'm very thankful for him. And really, in the shadows, that's what I was going to say initially was that Pastor and Sister Glover have been making mighty men and women. It's the ones like Brother Wicker who have come and realized what they're looking at, and then they've totally submitted to it, that have grown in this. I appreciate Brother Wicker because immediately he recognized it. And it's the people that have come up under this ministry of Pastor and Sister Glover over the years that have spent that time that have become mighty and men and women of God. And in the shadows here in this little town that's not even a town, there have been mighty men and women growing in the Spirit. I've never been to Israel physically, but I know for a fact if I went there, I would recognize places. Because I've been there many times on my knees. What has God done through you that affected the world? Or can you even believe that God would do that through one person? Because most of the time, that's all he can rely on is one. Just read the Bible. One. Daniel got one person. That's all he needs, though. That's all he needs is you. That's all he needs is you. I wish we could really, Donna, I wish you could really see yourself. I wish you could see how powerful you are in the Spirit. Same with you, Rebecca. Same with you, Wicker. Little skinny Wicker, same with you. I wish we could really see ourselves instead of discounting it and not believing what someone's saying from the pulpit. I need you to believe just how powerful, see it just one night, please. How powerful you are. And it's happening largely just because of the faithfulness of Pastor and Sister Glover. I'm telling you that God wants to do something here tonight only that's going to affect America's future. Not tomorrow. He's not wanting you to get connected tomorrow, maybe the next day. Right now. It's one of those one-time offers. Go ahead and sit down, please. Pace yourself, Phoebe. Praise God. Praise. I need Phoebe to pace herself. We need your voice. The attacks have been coming to this church really physically. Sister Glover with her diverticulitis and then an attack, a spiritual attack that came when she was weak. You know, that's really... Do you read in the New Testament how they fought or what they said against the demonic or how they prayed against the demonic? You don't. How did they fight in the New Testament? It doesn't really say so how they did it. All I know is Paul suffered in his body for the body of Jesus Christ. You know, that's how we fight often is affliction. This church has been afflicted. Rick, have you ever stopped to think that maybe God just tonight needs you to weep? Need you to be an intercessor like you are. And so 12 years of no seizures, now you have two of them. Is it for tonight, maybe, just to change the entire impact of America and the world? Because God's not done yet. The world needs Jesus Christ, and he's not done yet. He doesn't want to be done, but he relies on us, unfortunately, most of the time. I want each and every one of you to think that if I don't step up tonight, America's doomed. We never think that way, especially here in Sterling. We're just a boring church on Thursday. Pastor Glover's going to do an awesome job of teaching. We're going to go down and have some fellowship. It's just going to be so great. Meanwhile, America's going to hell. Meanwhile, this election has, God's not political. This election has become about religion. This election has become about what's right and what's not. The accuser of the brethren is doing a fantastic job of accusing us of things we don't even do, and we're starting to believe it. We're starting to believe that we are racist. We better have some education. We better put these white people in a camp and make them apologize. We're feeding into the stupid lies of the devil. And it's just going to get worse. Wait till your family's getting killed. You don't think that would happen. Wait till you're rounded up and put in educational camps. You think that won't happen. You think that there isn't a serious wickedness behind what's going on. And the church has been pathetic. Was there one person standing up? Tony Spell is the only person I know of that has not stopped having church during this time. The men of God, women of God that are in leadership have been pathetic. Hence the problem. Hence the fact that we're to a point now where it's going to take some powerful moving of the Holy Ghost to change things around. Okay, we aren't the only ones, all right? Just to satisfy everybody. Jason Sisko is starting a 40-day fast just to appease you a little bit. There's another huge group, Lou Engle. He's got a monstrous group of people, way more righteous and enthused with God than we are. They just don't have truth. That are fasting 40 days also. So, you know, technically, it might work out. But tonight, just think, tonight. What if? My brother was preaching from 1 Samuel 25. I was driving home from Anchorage. Sometimes with my mind, I really learned how to pray by driving because the scenery was enough to kind of take care of that distraction and get me up to where I could focus. Well, this time I needed Greg's preaching to be texting him after he had preached and be driving at the same time to be able to get a download from God. That's, I guess, how busy my mind was. But I was talking to him about how he had preached and speaking in son. You know, Moses, God said, you're going to be like God to your brother Aaron. And he is going to be your voice. So you're going to tell him what I tell you, and he's going to receive it just like he got it from God. That's speaking in son. That's a pretty good example. And so in 1 Samuel 25, we have this guy named Nabal comes out. He's a real, his name just describes who he is. And he's just a terrible person, a fool, a rude person, married to a beautiful woman named Abigail. And he has a bunch of sheep, 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats. He's a Calebite. David and his men have been out there in the wilderness hiding. And during that time, they have been literally a wall to the shepherds. They were a wall unto us both by night and day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. That's what one of the people has said about his men. And so they've been protecting Nabal. And Nabal doesn't even know it or appreciate it. Nabal's rich. He's a fool. It's his name. He's a loudmouth. America has become Nabal. Don't disagree with me. There's a Nabal in America right now. And guess what? They've forgotten what was keeping America safe. What has kept America good all these years? Just your intellect. It's your socialism. Right. or it's how progressive you are. It's the colleges and all the great things that they're teaching to our students, and it's our education system. What's kept America good? What is it that's kept America safe? We get a pandemic. You can't go to church now. Shut your mouth, Zach. You're being selfish. You're trying to kill people. You guys all saw that. 6% have died from COVID alone. All the rest have had the comorbidities. That's terrible. Should we have to say it? Oh, here, I'll do it what they say. One life is bad enough. So I got that out of the way. Zach, shut up. And we have. Just like that. Just like that. And so that doorway was open, boom, and they took advantage of it, and they shot through so fast we didn't even realize it. We got an IBC perspective. Sorry, Levi. The guy in the message is saying, you need to accept Black Lives Matter. You don't have to agree with them, you have to receive them. It's just a company, remember that. Remember that? They want to get rid of the nuclear family. That's man and woman, children. They're wanting to destroy that. They're against everything that God has put here. They're against God, ultimately. It's just a corporation, but let's receive it. I'm so sorry about what maybe my... Wait, I'm Clinkin' Indian. Never mind. You apologize to me. Right? Where does that stop? Talk about atrocities. I mean, come on. Maybe your family needs to apologize to my family. Or I don't even know. But we've been quiet and intimidated. America has been. They still are. Andy Stanley goes, the Bible, God didn't command us to meet together. Come on. How many see Pastor Greg? Thousands and thousands, the 20,000s. 50,000, Greg said. That it doesn't talk about us. Okay, you want to, you know, Hebrews? Hebrews 2, we don't need Hebrews 10. He says in Hebrews 2, quit talking. Can't read, man. In verse 12, he goes, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. Who's talking? Jesus Christ. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Where does he reveal himself? What's the church? It's not a building, man. We don't have... Chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God, but exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Are you exhorting each other every day? What happens in the church building? What happens when we're together? Do we do that? But when we're at our own homes, are we really doing that, really? Are we texting each brick? I want you, man, you're a powerful man of God. I just want you to know that I believe God's going to work through you powerfully this morning. No, I'm looking at Fox News going, cotton picker, man. We need the church. Is that settled? That's settled, right? America needs the church. The only thing that makes America good is God. The only thing. That's the only thing that makes any of us good. Amelia, I need you to start getting with me. You understand me? I need you on board, okay? You're an intercessor. Don't be bored, please. Just start praying or something. I'm not kidding. You think it's a joke? Is tonight a joke? How many relatives do we have that we're praying, we're hoping? But it's not going to happen if things change. It won't. And the world's never going to change. It's never going to get better. It's going to get worse and worse and worse. I was telling my parents, Revelation 9, it talks about how bad it gets, and they still will not repent. Yeah. It's not bad enough. It's not going to ever get there, guys. Yeah. And we're never going to be able to bend the knee enough. Yeah. We're never going to be able to apologize enough. No. 200 years, we're apologizing? Yeah. 1619? Oh my goodness. We need to be standing up. Beyond this service, standing up. We need to be. We can't be silent. That's not godly. If you're not voting, that's not godly. Oh, I can. He's President Trump. Just so. Have you ever been in the military? You want to hear rude talk? Join the military. President Trump's not rude. Trust me. President Trump's the best thing that ever happened to every one of us. He is. It was a done deal in 2016. Be seated, please. I'm getting so distracted. I'm sorry. I'm going to be so long. I'll never forget 2016. I was not into politics at all. And things were not looking good at all. And I was cool with it. I'm ready. See, I don't live for here. I don't. I cannot wait for this day. I cannot wait for it. What he's done for me, it's too special for me to even be able to contain. And I can't get excited about life here when I'm looking up there. And so it was 2016, and God was starting to, push. I was starting to get involved a little bit. My brother had turned me on to Bishop C.M. Wright. He's from Indianapolis, Maryland, Antioch. Does a great job with prayer. And so he was doing what they called Call to War. And it was in October. And he had started this in February. Not political, though. He wasn't being political. But he called it a solemn assembly. That was the literal title of what was going on. And he was preaching repentance for us, for the church, not doing what we're supposed to do. And for the sins of omission, way more than commission. What we don't do every single day. I've talked about that. And that's a big thing. What we don't do that we should be doing. What didn't we do today that we should have done, according to him? And so he was doing that. That call to war started in the 20s of October. I remember the first service, he had made the comment that he wasn't going to vote. And he's man enough to come back and say that God had rock and rolled him when they got home. And he's like, oh, you're not going to vote? Here, I'll tell you who you're voting for. Because it was, at that point, becoming a political thing with the church thing. We can't deny it. If you vote Democrat, you're voting for abortion. So you can't get around that. I don't care what they do for you. You can't get around that and go up. You can't. You can't be a willing participant in that and think that's going to be okay. That's just one little thing. That's just one little thing. And it was Thursday, October 27th. I'll never forget it because I was participating in it. They're streaming it live, and I was in the house at my parents' house. 2016, a Thursday, and he had gone through his lesson a couple hours, and they were praying, and the tongues interpretation came forth. It was Flo Shaw. You ever heard of her? She's the World Network of Prayer. And here's what she said. She said, "You have prayed, and I have answered. You have spoken, and you have commanded in my name, and I have manifested my spirit in my presence. Yea, saith the Lord, I have raised you up as a mighty army, and you shall go forth in this earth. And there shall be great revival, and there shall be great harvest. And I, the Lord God, will do the miraculous in this end time, because you have called a solemn assembly in my name." And that place exploded. The next morning, FBI director, the FBI liar, James Comey, sent a letter to Congress saying, "I'm reopening the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails." For whatever reason. I'm sure it had nothing to do with that. Because it did change the election a bit, didn't it? When that happened, Trump wasn't doing so great. And that opened that door again to that email, the whole situation. And that was the next morning after that was spoken. After he called a solemn assembly. After they were praying. But we can't do that one night. I know we can. David sends 10 men to Nabal. And he says, speaking his son, he says, "I want you to greet them in my name. I want you to speak peace to them." And they're what they're doing is... he's shearing a sheep. And he says in verse 5 of 1 Samuel 25, and David sent out 10 young men. David said unto the young men, get you up to Carmel, go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus shall ye say to him that liveth in prosperity, peace be both to thee and peace be to thine house and peace be unto all that thou hast. Who's speaking peace more than the church right now? It's love. Yeah. It's God's love, okay? And we need to be really understanding of other people's health problems. And God didn't call us to make a mockery or get involved in Paul. Come on, Tony Spell. No one's died, by the way, in your church. You've never stopped. You don't wear masks. But no one's died in your church, and you've had a great revival. Over 100 baptized, and I'm not sure how many of Holy Ghost, but come on, man, you're embarrassing the UPCI. We got to be political, and we'll speak. We are peacemakers.
You know what Nabal does to that? He spits in your face, or worse.
Or worse. I'm sure you've seen it on the news, right? Have you seen? Who here's been in Afghanistan and Iraq? Steve has. Tell me about Chicago. Tell me about downtown. Tell me about the violence going on. How's that any different than when we were deployed? It's not any different. Just to let you guys know.
Yeah.
It's worse. That's America.
Yeah.
And we're speaking peace.
Yeah.
And now I've heard that thou hast shearers. Now thy shepherd, because we think God wants us to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Right?
We just assume it.
Yeah.
I wish we could just assume that we should never talk in English except just pray in the Holy Ghost every time we pray. I wish we could assume things like that.
Yeah.
Instead of knowing what we're going to say.
Yeah.
I know because the Bible says here, so I'm going to pray this.
Yeah.
Love your neighbor as yourself. Get some understanding, guys. Like, study the Bible a little bit better. See who he's talking about there. You're not talking about your neighbor next door, by the way. Try treating people in the church good first. You see your brother in need, and you just go, hey, man, it's okay, but I could give it to you, but I'm just going to hold it back. We never do that. Now I've heard that thou hast, we always do that is what I mean. We walk away and say, peace be to you. Peace. I could help you out, but peace. Lazy man, he's late. Well, he just got to work harder. Now I've heard that thou hast shears. I haven't even started. I'm starting to get riled up. Now thy shepherds, which were with us, we hurt them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them all the while they were in Carmel. Ask thy young men, and they will show thee. Wherefore, let the young men find favor in thine eyes, for we come in a good day. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand unto thy servants and to thy son David. And when David's young men came, they spake to Nabal according to all those words in the name of David and ceased. They're speaking in son. When you speak a word to somebody, when you feel a word in your spirit for somebody from God, that is literally the only time we should be. Even if scripture says so, it's the will of God that we're trying to get accomplished here. So when God gives us a rhema word or word in our spirit, when you speak it, are you speaking it like Jesus Christ? That's what speaking his son is again. That's what I appreciate about Brother Wicker. He speaks in son. When he ministers in son. He's able to get into that dimension, and I really appreciate that. Might have to have you do it to show him how. And Nabal answered David's servants. This is what Nabal is saying to us right now. He says, who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants. That's what you are, Zach. That's what you are. You're my servant, buddy. You're a runaway servant there, Belinda. Rick, you don't have any power. You're just a servant. Because David has run away from his master, Saul. And so who's Saul? Who's David? Who's the son of... That's what they're saying to us. It's Jesus Christ, by the way, though, is what they're saying. Or they don't know it. They're saying, who's God? What kind of power does God have? Apparently none. Right now, apparently none. Apparently none right now. You guys got that, right? Elijah would pray down fire Guaranteed not one of you could. I mean, because you're bored with what I'm talking about right now. Is anyone getting sick and tired of how America is going down the tubes, and how our Christian movement, anybody in Christianity, is getting stomped on? LA is going to do whatever they can do to shut Brother MacArthur down. Too bad he's smarter than they are. Too bad now he has God on his side. God's like, I'm just wanting people to stand up. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is God? There's many servants nowadays that break away from their master. By the way, I am your master. That's what they're saying. That's what the spirit of the Antichrist is saying to us is, You kneel down to me, bud. Yeah. Kneel down. And I'm going to put my hands on your back. It's anti-what? Is that racial? Or is that spiritual?
Yeah.
Anti.
Oh.
Yeah. But God does not want you to stand up and say anything against these people that are desecrating America. He doesn't want you to say anything. He doesn't want you to do anything. Just keep doing what you're doing. Be right. Bored at church.
Yeah.
We're just getting through this. Put your mask on.
Right.
Praise God.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah.
I'm not saying anything against masks, okay? Got to do what you got to do. And we got to follow the science. We haven't, has anyone died here yet? No, I don't think so, right? Greg had COVID, guaranteed. He got through it. I mean, I've been sick before. I mean, and if I die, guess what? That's what I'm living for anyways. Do you think Eli Hernandez cares? Right now, do you think he cares about the fact that he's dead? His family's down here? I'm sure charity is just as powerful as he is, so he kind of did pour into them, and so it's kind of a good deal right there, but I doubt he wants to come back. If I had the choice, no way in the world. Bye, Megan. Bye, Jackie. Jasmine. Jackson. Right? Or is this more important? Is it more important? Is our lives more important than heaven? Is it more real than what this, we're supposed to be in this new realm of the spirit, where there was mighty men that they're mightier than any soldiers I've ever seen. These guys were crazy mighty, and they were in debt and they were bitter, and they came to David, and something about David just rubbed off on them, because David was a giant killer. He had zero problem. Where's Abner at? How come you're not fighting Goliath? Where are all these tough guys at? David had zero problem.
Yeah.
And you know what David did? He spoke and sung.
Yeah, he did.
And he told him how he was going to die.
Yeah.
And he told him what he was going to do to him.
Yeah.
And then he did it.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
Forget about healing.
Yeah.
When we talk about the miraculous,
sure.
Forget about healing, okay?
Yeah.
God doesn't care about our aches and pains. He really doesn't. He doesn't. How do you think you break through the flesh anyways? You think pain's not a doorway into the spirit realm? You think people that are in pain don't have a bigger sensitivity to God?
Amen.
They do. But when we're talking miraculous here, we're talking about James Comey going, you know what? I'm going to send a letter and I'm going to open up an investigation. I have a higher loyalty myself.
Yeah.
But and changing things. I'm talking about the miraculous when who thinks they can affect the environment?
Yeah.
When it's really a showdown, when it's really, really comes down to a head, I believe if Tony Spell says this is going to happen, I believe God's going to go. Because he's been taking a stand. What's the miraculous, really? Is it for us? For our good, for us to have a great life?
Yeah.
Everything to be good? Have enough money? And have ability to have subscriptions to Netflix and Hulu and everything else? And Amazon Prime? And, you know, just... And we'll come to church and we'll sit there. We won't even open our Bibles. We won't remember one single thing that's said. And we're going to heaven, man.
Yeah.
mean, I'm talking to people that are backslid right now. I am, really. If I could get through to you, that'd be great. I've been there many times in powerful moves of God, stone-faced like I wasn't feeling anything, fighting a calling and not made a move. I know what it's like. So I know what I'm looking at with some of you. And I'm telling you, we say it's hell. It's not hell. Hell gets thrown into this thing called the lake of fire. Just think about that. Just think about that. That's reality. America was set up. They protect Israel. By the way, where's the peace prize for Trump? By the way, like the biggest peace move in years with Netanyahu and the United Arab Emirates. Where's that at? Obama got one for giving Iran money. Think about that. That's how twisted America is. And they're going to win. They are going to win. They are going to win because we don't do anything. Because we're not doing anything connecting with God. At this point, they're going to win. So are we relying on Cisco's 40-day fast? Are we relying on Lou Engel, his 40-day fast? Or are we just going to be good and we'll face God? He's going to go, Zachary, you know what? I had 3 years left for America. And when those times when I was calling you to prayer and you were just doing your own thing, can you explain yourself to me? I mean, we're going to have a conversation. I need to shut up here. Who's David? Who's the son of Jesse? There'd be many servants. So David's a servant. He's broken away from his master. Shall I then take my bread, my water, my flesh that I've killed for my shears and give it unto men whom I know not whence they be? And David's men turn away insulted by this terrible person. Remember now, they were... Verse 15, but the men were very good unto us. And we were not hurt, neither missed we anything, as long as we were conversant with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us. Nabal doesn't know that. He's wanting to know who David is, who the son of Jesse is. And he's saying, whom I know not whence they be. The spirit of the Antichrist right now, so powerful. Gaslighting. We're having to learn new terms to realize the psychological warfare going on. You know one thing you can always tell is church people, God's people are never united. The devil's people are always united. And they speak with one voice. Who's speaking with one voice? Who's not? That's part of the problem. But God can bypass the dumb people if he has God's people saying, oh, you want to know who Jesus Christ is? Oh, you don't know who he is? Oh, you don't realize why you've been successful? Why you've been protected? You think it's your abilities? No, it's not. It's God. You think it's anything? It's God. America needs Jesus Christ. And who's he relying on? I cannot believe I'm looking at bored people right now. I just cannot believe that. Let me cut to the chase. There is an Abigail in America that God wants to marry David. But until you get your swords on and you get like David is, ready to go kill him and kill every single guy that... Every male, I'm going to kill every single one of them. And until we get in that mindset, that's where Jesus Christ is, by the way. It's not peace. It is not peace. Gird up your loins, you little sissy. Get up and be a man. That's what it is. He's ready to go wipe out. Nabal's done. There's an Abigail that's going to come and marry David in America. In other words, there's a harvest in America. But if we don't do anything, you realize that Abigail is the one that speaks the word of death to Nabal. Nabal wakes up and she tells him, and his heart turns to stone. Sorry for spitting.
Yeah.
10 men. He suffers for 10 days.
Yeah.
God doesn't play.
You don't play. Right.
10 men. He suffers for 10 days.
Yeah.
God doesn't play.
Yeah.
And David goes, get your swords, you 400 men. The same army he takes to wipe out all the people that take Ziklag a couple chapters later. 400 men. Get your swords. We are going to kill them. Jesus Christ's attitude right now in the spirit is one of war. It's one of violence. The violent kind take it by force. The violent kind. This is how you get violent right here. This is how you get violent in the spirit. Not like this, like this. We tararako shambayoto. Get violent in the spirit, Amelia. Come on, Amelia. I want to hear some violence. I can't take getting pushed around. I can't take getting pushed around, Annette. Do this, do this, do this. Back up, back up, back up. No, it's time to fight. There's an Abigail coming! That is the will of God revealed. America has an Abigail. She's coming if we'll gird up our swords. If we'll get in the same mindset as Jesus Christ. His mindset is complete annihilation. Complete annihilation. Come on, Jordan. Come on, Jordan. Let's go, Zach. Where are my mighty men? Where's the mighty women at? Put your sword off. Get on your horse. Tonight, tonight, tonight.
Tonight, yeah. Yeah.
We've got to get somewhere tonight, or it's done. I want you to think it all relies on tonight. We are not alone. We are not alone. Misha, you're not praying by yourself. There are angels. We have ministering spirits. We have Uriel. We have angels coming. We have angels here. We just need to get into that dimension. We don't even ever get to that point. We always stop. Come on, warriors. You don't have to be loud. Just get engaged.
Sunday.
Weeping is roaring! Weeping is roaring! Weeping is roaring! No repentance. Zero repentance tonight. He does not need you saying, "I'm sorry, God, I'm sorry, God." Get your warrior on. Get in the flow of the Spirit. Come on. One night we can change America. One night we can change America. That's the whole gist of tonight. America's in the balances here. Welcome to responsibility. Come on.